guten Tag. Herzlich willkommen. Guten Morgen. Wir sind ja in Berlin. Guten Morgen. Schön, dass Sie da sind. Wir machen weiter. Wir haben gestern, fand ich, in ganz fantastischen Veranstaltungen erlebt, dass Hans Zischler und Hans-Jörg Reinberger ist ja selber Wissenschaftshistoriker, dass sie ihre eigene Arbeit wissenschaftshistorisch in den Blick genommen haben. Wir haben im Film von Nora Gomringer erlebt, dass sie ein Interview geführt hat, um etwas über sich selber herauszufinden, nämlich ein Interview mit ihrer Mutter. Und wir haben mit Olaf Nicolai und Wolfgang Heiniger erlebt, dass die beiden eigentlich uns einen Streich gespielt haben aus der Aufgabe, zwei Künstler unterhalten sich über ihre Schaffensprozesse, haben sie selber wieder eine künstlerische Arbeit gemacht. Da wurden gestern Fäden ausgeworfen, die heute wieder aufgegriffen werden, die heute miteinander verknüpft werden oder von mir aus auch verknotet, von mir aus können die sich auch verheddern. Wir wissen auch heute nicht, welche Richtung die einzelnen Veranstaltungen nehmen werden, aber es wird sich am Ende, glaube ich, in unseren Köpfen ein Netz von lauter Querverweisen ergeben. Ich habe gestern so ein bisschen in einer Anmoderation gewitzelt darüber, dass im Journalismus manchmal die Vorstellung vertreten wird, der Wissenschaftler gehe seiner ernsthaften Arbeit nach, die Künstler und die Literaten würden dann so gewissermaßen den epistemischen Abfälle aufkehren und daraus was Schönes basteln und das Faszinosum der Wissenschaft irgendwie ins Bild bringen oder zum Ausdruck bringen. Es ist aber ja auch so, dass selbst wieder Wissenschaftler zum Teil begnadete Erzähler sind, sehr gerne und sehr fasziniert von ihrem Gegenstand sprechen und auch darüber, wie sie zu ihrem Gegenstand gekommen sind. Oft sind das ja Momente auch schon aus der Kindheit oder der frühen Schulzeit, dass man einfach von etwas fasziniert ist und dem geht man dann sein ganzes Arbeitsleben und auch darüber hinaus fasziniert nach. Darüber, wie das Erzählen, wie Erzählformen Wissen vermitteln nach außen oder aber auch über die Frage, wie vielleicht Erzählformen, nämlich bestimmte narrative Muster überhaupt im Erkenntnisprozess wichtig sind und den Erkenntnisprozess formen, werden Anke Theesen und Klaus Sander sprechen, auch anhand von vielen Beispielen. Klaus Sander hat aus seinem wunderbaren Verlag Supposé zahlreiche Tonbeispiele mitgebracht, die wir hören werden. Aber zunächst wird etwas geschehen, was ich mir schon Jahre gewünscht habe, ohne zu wissen, dass ich mir das wünsche. Ich selber lese sehr gern französische Literatur des 20. Jahrhunderts und stelle immer wieder fest, dass dieser Antagonismus, der zwischen den Wissenschaften und den Künsten aufgebaut wird, wie wir das im Deutschen kennen. Der Wissenschaftler macht das, der Künstler macht das, der eine ist kreativ, der andere ist was denn eigentlich? Natürlich ist wissenschaftliches Arbeiten auch kreatives Arbeiten. Dass dieser Antagonismus vielleicht gar nicht so stark ausgebildet ist in Frankreich. Einer meiner Lieblingsautoren, Michel Leiris, war Ethnologe, als ganz seriöser Wissenschaftler. Alain Robbe-Grillet war Agronom, glaube ich. Und warum soll nicht ein Schriftsteller in einer wissenschaftlichen Einrichtung seinen Lebensunterhalt verdienen? Ein Schriftsteller, der das getan hat, war Georges Perec. Der hat nicht nur das berühmte Buch geschrieben, Das Leben Gebrauchsanweisung, was auch schon aus dem Roman heraus auf eine andere Textform verweist. Er hat auch immer wieder kleine Texte geschrieben, ja, da kann man im Deutschen nur zu sagen, das sind Wissenschaftsparodien. Aber das stimmt gar nicht, das sind keine Parodien. Parodie hieß ja, er macht sich über wissenschaftliches Arbeiten und wissenschaftliche Textformen lustig. Das stimmt aber gar nicht, denn eigentlich kitzelt Georges Perec den Witz aus diesen Textformen heraus, der sowieso schon drin steckt. Einer dieser Texte, 1974 geschrieben, auf Englisch auch. Georges Perec, ein Franzose, schreibt einen Text auf Englisch. Diesen Text hat er tatsächlich in eine wissenschaftliche Festschrift hineingeschmuggelt. Und dieser Text folgt allen Regeln sauberen wissenschaftlichen Darstellens. Nur das Thema, um das es geht, die wissenschaftliche Untersuchung, die da stattfindet, ist doch ein wenig ungewöhnlich, denn es geht um die Frage, wie sich der Ton von Sopranistinnen verändert, wenn man sie auf der Bühne mit Tomaten bewirft. Das wird aber alles sehr schön nachgewiesen. Und diesen Text liebe ich seit vielen, vielen Jahren und eigentlich scheint es mir jetzt so, als hätte dieser Text immer nur darauf gewartet, dass der wirklich fantastische Schauspieler und Sänger Graham F. Valentine ihn mal in einen Vortrag verwandelt. Und das hat Graham getan, unterstützt von Malte Ubenauf. Und damit beginnen wir und danach direkt im Anschluss werden dann Klaus Sander und Anke Theesen auftreten.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. It's my pleasure and my privilege to present to you today, on behalf of their author, the results of his research. Experimental demonstration of the tomato topic organization in the soprano, Cantatrix Sopranica. Georges Perec, Laboratoire de Physiologie, Faculté de Médecine, Saint-Antoine, Paris, France. Sommaire. Démonstration expérimentale d'une organisation tomatotopique chez la cantatrice. L'auteur étude les fois que le lancement de la tomate il provoquait la réaction yellante chez la chantatrice et démontre que plusieurs aires de la cervelle elles étaient implicatées dans la réponse. En particulier, le trajet légumier, les nuclei thalamus et la fissure musicien de l'hémisphère nord. Research report. As observed at the turn of the century by Marx and Spencer, open brackets, 1899, close brackets, who first named the yelling reaction, open brackets, uppercase Y, uppercase R, close brackets, the striking effects of tomato throwing on sopranos have been extensively described. Although numerous behavioral entre parenthèses, Zeg et Puce, 1931, Roux et Cambalusier, 1932, Sinon et al, 1948, pathological, entre parenthèses 1 et 2, 1960, comparative, entre parenthèses Caribe et Silla, 1973, and follow-up, entre parenthèses Elsevier, 1974, have permitted a valuable description of these typical responses. Neuroanatomical as well as neurophysiological data are, in spite of their number, surprisingly confusing. In their henceforth late 20s classical demonstrations, Chu and Lai, open brackets 1927 A, B, C, 1928 A, B, 1929 A, 1930, close brackets, have ruled out the hypothesis of a pure facial nociceptive reflex that has been advanced for many years by a number of authors, open brackets, Macedoine, 1912, Père Eternel, 1916, Sornette et Villevesey, 1925, close brackets. Since that time, numerous observations have been made, that have tried to decipher the tangling puzzle as well as the puzzling tangle of the afferent and or efferent sides of the uppercase Y, uppercase R, and led to the rather chaotic involvement of numberless structures and paths. Trigeminal, Löwenstein et al. 1930. Bi-trigeminal, von Eitig, 1940. Quadri-trigeminal, van der Deden, 1950. Supra, infra, and inter-trigeminal, Mason and Ragoon, 1960 afferents, have been likely pointed out as well as macula, Zakuski, 1954, sacula, Borch, 1955, utricula, Malosol, 1956, ventricula, Tarama, 1957, monocula, Zubrowska, 1958, binocula, Shashlik, 1959-60, triocular, Stroganov, 1960, auditive, balalaika, 1515, and digestive, Alka-Seltzer, 1815 inputs. Spinothalamic, Atu et Ratatou, 1974, Rubrospinal, Mao Tse-tung, 1973, Nigro, Suiatl, Sengotai, 1972, Reticula, Pompeiano et al., 1971, Hypothalamic, Hubel et Wiesel, 1970, Mesolimbic, Kufler, 1969, and Cerebellar, High and Low, 1968 pathways have been vainly searched out for a tentative explanation of the uppercase Y, uppercase R organization. And almost every part of the somesthetic pericoloso isporgersi 1973, Motor, Ford, 1930, Commissioro, Gordon and Bergen, 1974, and associative Einstein et al., 1974 cortices, have been found responsible for the progressive building up of response, although up to now, no decisive demonstration of both the input and output of uppercase Y, uppercase R programming has been convincingly advanced. Recent observations by Unzofort and Cetera pointing out that the more you throw tomatoes on sopranos, the more they yell. And comparative studies dealing with the gas reaction, Otis et Pif, 1964, Hiccup, Carpentier et Philippe, 1964, Cat Purring, Remers et Gautier, 1972, HM Reflex, Vincent et al., 1976, Ventriloque, Maculoc et al. 1964, Shriek, Scream, Shrill, and other hysterical reactions, Sturm und Drang 1973, provoked by tomato as well as cabbages, apples, cream tarts, shoes, butts, and anvil throwing, Arvari Merci 1973, have led to the steady assumption of a positive feedback organization of the uppercase Y, uppercase R, based upon a semi-linear, quadristable, multi-switching interdigitation of neuronal sub-networks functioning en désordre, Belot et al., 1974. Although this hypothesis seems rather seductive, it lacks anatomical and physiological foundations, and we therefore decide to explore systematically the internal incremental or decremental organization of the uppercase Y, uppercase R, allowing a tentative anatomic model. Have you heard the news? It's just been handed down. Have you heard the talk that's going round the town? It's not about a chicken, or a rabbit, or a bird, but here's the finest bit of news that you have ever heard. Ooh, tomatoes are coming back again. Yes, tomatoes are coming back again. Jiggity-bum, jiggity-bum, they went out of fashion a little while ago. Now everybody down the Strand will all be pleased to know that tomatoes are coming back again. Yippee! How can we bear the strain? In the gloaming we'll be roaming, for tomatoes are coming back again. Materials and methods. Preparation. Experiments were carried out on 107 female healthy sopranos, cantatrix sopranica, furnished by the Conservatoire National de Musique, and weighing between 94 and 124 kilograms. Their mean weight was 101 kilograms. Halothane and anesthesia was utilized during the course of tracheotomy, fixation in the Horsley-Clark, and major operative procedures. 5% procaine was injected into skin margins and pressure points. Animals were then immobilized with gallimine triethyiodide, 40 milligrams per kilogram per hour, and normocapnia was maintained by appropriate artificial ventilation. Spinal cord transections were performed at L3 stroke T2 levels, thus eliminating blood pressure variations and adrenaline secretion induced by tomato throwing, entre parenthèses, Giscard d'Estaing, 1974. The fact that the animals were not suffering from pain was shown by their constant smiling throughout the experiments. Internal temperature was maintained at 38 degrees Celsius plus or minus 4 degrees Fahrenheit by means of three electrically driven boiling kettles. Excuse me. Stimulation. Tomatoes, Tomato rungisia vulgaris, were thrown by an automatic tomato thrower, open brackets, wait and see, 1972, close brackets, monitored by an all-purpose laboratory computer, open brackets, uppercase D, uppercase I, uppercase D, oblique 92, oblique 85, oblique uppercase P, oblique 331, close brackets, operated online. Repetitive throwing allowed up to 9 projections per second, thus mimicking the physiological conditions encountered by sopranos and other singers on stage, open brackets, Tibaldi, 1953, close brackets. Care was taken to avoid missed projections on upper and lower limbs, trunk and buttocks. Only tomatoes affecting faces and necks were taken into account. Control experiments were made with other projectiles, as apple cores, cabbage runts, hats, roses, pumpkins, bullets, and ketchup, open brackets, heens, rhymes with beans, 1952, close brackets. Recording. Unit activity was recorded through glass tungsten semi-macro electrodes located au petit bonheur, according to the methods of Zichitrakchevich-Seskrakchevich. Goodness. 1974. Spike recognition was performed by audio monitoring. Every time a unit discharge was heard, it was carefully photographed, tapped, displayed on a monograph, and after integration, on a polygraph. Statistical evaluation of the results was made using a tennis-like algorithm, Wimbledon 1974. That is, every time a structure responds up to win the game, it was recognized as uppercase Y, uppercase R related. Histology. At the end of the experiment, sopranos were perfused with olive oil and 10% Glenfiddich and incubated at 421 degrees Celsius in 15% orange juice during 47 hours. Frozen 2-centimeter unstained sections were mounted into Delta strawberry sherbet and observed under light and heavy microscopy. Histological verifications confirmed that all the electrodes were located in the brain, except 4 that were found in cauda equina and filum terminale and disclosed from statistical analysis. Results. Stereotaxic explorations of brains during tomato throwing showed that most of the areas respond differently to the tomesthetic stimulation. As can be seen from table 1, where the results are summarized, if you'll bear with me for just one moment. Now, here you have the parts of the brain listed. Whole brain, brafe area, septum, thalamus. I presume you're all familiar with them. Right down to the bottom, N, Poissy, N, Peche, N, Ruber, N for Norman, of course. And along the top, we have the various frequencies. That is the frequency of the tomato being projected against the singer, ranging from 1 second to 15 seconds. We managed to make an experiment which went beyond the 9, which you've already heard about in the text. Now, as you can see, 3 distinct areas gave definite, unambiguous, and constant responses. The nucleus anterior reticularis thalami pars lateralis, open brackets, uppercase N-A-R-T, lowercase P-L, close brackets. You can see it on the list there. Number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, with the figures. Or nucleus of Pêche, entre parenthèses Pêche, 1876, Poissy, 1880, Jean Passe et Desmeilleurs, 1932. The anterior portion of the tractus leguminosus, open brackets, lowercase AP, uppercase TL, close brackets, which you can see right underneath it, further down the list, APTL, which lies 3.5 millimeters above the obex and 4 millimeters to the right of the tentorium. And the dorsal part of the so-called musical sulcus, open brackets, lowercase sc, uppercase ms, close brackets, of the left hemisphere, Donan and Kelly, 1956, just above the APTL. And if you look at the very end, you can see a few. We weren't exactly sure of the number. Down at the bottom, you've got maybe, as you can see here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 exclamation marks. That means that we were rather at a loss. So that's suspended. The moment. It is of interest to notice that if the left hemisphere was kept for analysis, the right hemisphere was left. Examples of responses obtained from these structures can be seen in figure 1, where temporal analysis of the spike distribution based on their responsive area temporal programming, RATP, it's a familiar abbreviation there to those of us who know Paris, properties allowed one to distinguish three unit subtypes. Bear with me once more. Figure 1, coming up. We have A, we have B, we have C. And this is, in fact, a record of the unit activity and structures responding to tomatic stimulation. The bar indicates the stimulus onset, but also the stimulus cessation. So it sort of goes back and forward, if you understand what I mean. Number A at the top corresponds to the units responding before the stimulation, B, the units responding during the stimulation, and C, the units responding after the stimulation. Now, if you see up at the top, note the point in A, the arrow in B, and the little triangle in C. Those are quite important. Cross-examination of responses driven by other projectiles and catch-up stimulation are shown in figure 2 and argue unquestionably in favor of a tomato topic organization of the YR along, between, and across the uppercase N-A-R-T, lowercase P-L, A-P, uppercase T-L, and lowercase S-C, uppercase F-case N-S. Bear with me just one moment. And we go on to figure 2. Examples of responses in the APTL provoked by tomato and other throwings. A, the tomato, red and juicy, fresh and plumpy. I am a veggie and a fruit. You can eat me when I'm cooked, and you can also eat me raw. What am I? I am a tomato. I am a tomato. I am a tomato. I am a tomato. Now, the temporal relationships of those responses, as exemplified in figure 3, it's non-stop, huh? showed that the hypothesis of a clustering interdigitation of neuronal subnets is highly probable, as you will see. Figure 3. Now, the temporal relationships of the responses recorded in the YR area, you remember what YR stands for? Uppercase Y, uppercase R. No, anybody? Yelling reaction. Don't be shy. W, abscissi. X, arbitrary units. Y, ordinates. And the last one, Z, which looks like the letter L, for those of you who are at the back. International units. The patterns are quite attractive, don't you think? As I said, the clustering interdigitation of neuronal subnets is highly improbable, although no experimental evidence can be given due to the relative difficulty of entering those damned structures without destroying a lot of things, Timio et al. Now on to the discussion. It has been shown above that tomato throwing provokes, along with another few motor, visual, vegetative, and behavioral reactions, neuronal responses in three distinctive brain areas. The nucleus anterior reticular thalami pars lateralis, open brackets uppercase N-A-R-T, lowercase P-L, close brackets. The anterior portion of the tractus leguminosus, open brackets lowercase A-P, uppercase T-L, close brackets. And the dorsal part, so-called musical sulcus, open brackets lowercase S-C, uppercase M-S, close brackets, all of which you are familiar with. As pointed out by Chu and Lai, 1929b, Lai and Chu, 1931a, b, and Unsofort and Chetra, 1972, the YR organization cannot be simply reduced to an oligosynaptic facio-facial nociceptive reflex, which would have relayed over in the fascia leguminosa of the Roman letters sixth laminations of the ventral quadrants of the paleospino, rubro, yellow, tecto, cerebello, nigro, striatal, tomatonergic ascending pathways. For the fact that horseradish peroxidase injected into the soprano's vocal cords is retrogradually transported from the apical dendrites of the vagus nerves to the tomato-tomatic synapses of the contralateral pseudo-Gasserian afferents, Maculot et al. 1975, proves with some likelihood the leguminous nature of the mediator responsible for the transmission of the message from the receptive tomato fields to the YR circuitry, Colley et al. 1973. Thus, 3.5 open brackets M tri close brackets are gyral beta L tomatose, which is selectively trisynthesized in the NARTAPTL bundle, and whose destruction blocks up drastically the YR, stands out as the major candidate for the transmitter involved in the YR retroacting loop, although an alternative hypothesis based upon latency calculations and co-cross frequency correlations puts forward the feasibility of a tomatotonic synapse. See Dendrit and Haxon, 1975. Although decisive experimental evidences are still lacking, and further series of experiments are needed before the complete elucidation of the YR can be achieved, it seems logical to advance that above combined arguments, along with experimental results described in our work, are likely to support the hypothesis of a semi-linear, multi-stable, multi-switching, net-back feedwork organization of the YR, whose tentative anatomical model can therefore be proposed as in figure 4, which, if you bear with me, I am about to show you. Figure 4. Tentative anatomical model of the YR organization. Explanations are in the text or elsewhere. Black lines, inhibitory. Broken lines, interrogatory. Dashed lines, redhibitory. Stellate lines, quigantory. Come, give a sang, Montgomery cried, and leave your insults all aside. Tis nonsense for a man to chide, but what's been done before him? Let Whig and Tory all agree. Whig and Tory, Whig and Tory. Let Whig and Tory all agree and dance the real Whig morum. Let Whig and Tory all agree and come and dance the real with me. The real O'Tullagh Gorum. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This work was supported by grants from the Syndicat Régional des Producteurs de Fruits et Légumes, the AFAAL, Association Française des Amateurs d'Art Lyrique, and the FIDB, the Fédération Internationale des Dactylo-Bibliographes. I thank you for your courteous attention.
super. Guten Tag. Aha, bin ich? Ja, ich weiß das jetzt selber nicht mehr. Da jetzt doch noch so viele hinzugekommen sind, die so sich hier die Nasen platt gedrückt haben an den Scheiben vorher. Sie haben was verpasst, natürlich. Es war aber einfach nicht möglich, so noch nachher Einlass zu gewähren, während Graham Valentine hier sein Tomatenlied gesungen hat und